Good morning. We are in the seventh in our 12-part series going through the book of Ephesians. Last week in 3, 14 through 21, we learned about the glue that holds the body of Christ together, the key ingredient for us to become the fullness of God and to bring glory to God, the basic, the most fundamental rule of Christian community, love. Christ living in us, owning us more and more, leads to our loving, and that leads to God being glorified, lording. And now in our text this morning, 4, 1 through 16, Paul continues. We as members of Christ are united in love, yes, but how exactly should we function? And that's what we're going to find out. As Mr. Kelly walks around the aisle distributing handouts, please put your hand up if you haven't received one. There are some cues and markers and highlights and bolds and italics in there that might help you follow along. So if you'll grab one of those, that'll be helpful. And as you do that, let's bow our heads one more time. We will wait for you. We will wait for you. Through the storm and through the night. We will wait for you. We will wait for you because your love, your chesed, is our delight. We will wait for you. We will rely on your word. And so, Father, this morning, would you send the author of that word, the Holy Spirit, in a special way into our hearts? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago in a Super Bowl halftime commercial, FedEx had this thing where they spoofed the movie Castaway. In the actual movie, Tom Hanks plays a FedEx worker whose company plane went down, stranding him on a desert island for many years. In the Super Bowl commercial at halftime, a FedEx employee looking like a scruffy Tom Hanks in the movie is walking up to the door of a suburban home holding a package in his hand. Ostensibly, after being marooned on an island for a long time, this FedEx guy is still faithful to his task, and he is going to deliver his package that he had kept with him all this time. When the lady comes to the door, he explains that he survived 5 years on a desert island, and during that time, he had kept this package intact and unopened in order to deliver it to her. She says, "Thank you." But he is curious about what is in the package that he had been protecting for all these years. If I may ask, madam, what was in this package after all? She opens it and shows him the contents. "Oh, nothing really, just a satellite telephone, a GPS, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds." Everything he needed was in that package that he hadn't opened. You know what? Everything the church needs for successful ministry is in the package that God has given us. Well, what is this package? What does it contain? And how do we use it? That's what Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 is all about. So let's zoom in at the beginning, 4, 1. "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. God has blessed and redeemed and called us into his grand plan, as we have seen, to become fellow participants with him. Therefore, that divine calling mandates a certain kind of walking." Or as I often like to say it, relationship with God mandates responsibility towards God. If he has called us to be his own, to be a part of the body of Christ, so as to fulfill his grand plan to consummate all things in Christ, then there are particular ways in which we are to walk, ways that are worthy of our calling. Relationship mandates responsibility. Calling mandates walking. So what does this walking, this living, this conduct of life look like? Verse 2, with all humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. All four are active dispositions of selflessness that result in communal harmony. Selflessness is the key here. Humility looks at others as worthy of honor. Gentleness looks at others as worthy to submit to. Patience looks at others as worthy of forgiveness. Love looks at others as worthy of our care and concern. So every one of these items is other-directed, not self-directed, selflessness. And this selflessness helps us, verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the church is preserved by selfless interpersonal relationships and interactions. That's how we play our role in the consummation of all things in Christ. That's how we can help further the grand design of God for this cosmos. That's why he has called us for, and here's number one, unity. Unity. Unity is a significant aspect of the grand plan of God to consummate all things in Christ. Of course we should be united because we have, 4 through 6, one body, not separate organs floating around in space, and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, the hope we share with a future with God when all things are consummated in him. One Lord, one faith, what we believe, the content of our faith, one baptism, which signifies our identification with one person, Jesus Christ, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Notice that there are seven ones, seven unified elements deliberately created, because in biblical times, seven was considered a perfect number. Incidentally, one in Greek can have either a masculine gender, a feminine gender, or a neuter gender, and all three are found here. So this is to encompass everything. So Paul is hinting that the constitutive oneness in our unity in the church is a perfect, all-encompassing, exhaustive oneness. Oneness of body, spirit, hope, Lord, faith, baptism, and God the Father. If all of those things are shared by us, then should not we as individuals within the body be living as one right now, united, joined, singular? If such unity is not maintained, then the church would be a visible contradiction of God's grand plan. And we would be announcing to all the anti-God entities in the cosmos that God's plan is broken, God's plan doesn't work, God's plan has failed. In fact, someone on the outside could ask us, how is this God going to unify all things in the cosmos if the body of Christ is itself disorganized, unharmonized, misaligned, and disunited? A man was about to commit suicide by jumping from a high bridge when a second guy ran up to him shouting, "Stop, stop, don't do it." "But I have nothing to live for," said the first guy. "Well, maybe I can help you. Are you religious?" "Yes, I am," said the first man. "Me too. Are you Christian, Jewish, or Muslim?" "I'm a Christian," said the first man. "Me too. Are you Protestant or Catholic?" "I'm a Protestant," said the first man. "Me too. Are you Calvinist or Arminian?" "Calvinist," said the first guy. "Me too. Are you a Baptist or a Presbyterian?" "I'm a Baptist." "Well, are you charismatic or reformed?" "I'm a charismatic." "Me too. Are you General Baptist, Conference Baptist, or Northern Baptist?" "Conference Baptist." "Me too. Are you Conference Baptist of the 1932 conference or Conference Baptist of the 1946 conference?" Conference Baptist of the 1932 conference. 1932, then die, infidel heretics come, and he pushed him off the bridge. If that's how the body of Christ is, it is tantamount to declaring that God has lost. And they, Satan and his evil ones, have won. We certainly don't want to do that. So since our unity is so critical, how do we make this unity work? And let me give you the answer from our text in one word, which is number two, diversity. It's rather paradoxical. Unity in diversity. But it makes perfect sense in God's grand plan. How so? Look at the beginning and the end of the next section. 4:7 has each underlined, and 4:16 has each underlined. After the 1:1:1:1:1:1:1 sevenfold unity, we have a section that begins and ends with each diversity. Unity in diversity. And how does this diversity work to promote unity? And that's what the remainder of our text, 4:7-16, is about. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore it says, and now Paul's quoting Psalm 68 with some slight changes, when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. Now, this is alluding to what a conquering general used to do in ancient Rome. When this general returned from the battle, his military victory, and he had a triumphal procession in the capital, this general gave gifts, spoils of war, to the people watching the parade on the sides of the streets. Likewise, Christ, verse 9. Now, what is he ascended, but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth, which is to say our divine general came to earth to fight a battle. The one who descended is himself the one who ascended far above all the heavens in order that he might fill all things. And so our divine general won this battle. He was resurrected and ascended to his capital city in heaven. And so when this divine victor over sin and over death returned triumphantly, what did he do? Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measuring out of the gift of Christ. Christ, the divine victor, like that Roman general of years ago, returned in triumph, giving out gifts to his people. And these gifts are called spiritual gifts. To each and every believer, special ability is given to each one of us, every single one of us without exception, when we trusted Christ. Gifts that the Holy Spirit empowers us to employ in the church for the growth and edification of the body. Todd covered this topic a few weeks ago, and we're going to see more of that in a bit. But I want you to catch that this gifting is measured out sovereignly by the gift giver, perfectly fitted for each person. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measuring out of the gift of Christ. Everyone gets a gift, but not everyone gets the same gift or gifts. Christ measured out his gifts to each one of us. This means that Christ's grace gifting is part of a strategic plan, a strategic divine design, not merely an arbitrary randomization of handouts. Each one of us is specially and specifically gifted in one or more areas. Each of us has at least one gift. Many have more than one. All carefully measured out by Christ to his redeemed people, his body. No, his gifts were not like clothes bought at a warehouse store. Christ's gifts were bespoke, which is to say specifically tailored for each one of us, a perfect fit for us so that we would, each of us in turn, be a perfect fit in the body of Christ. Diverse gifts, but it's this diversity that results in unity, as we'll see. And this is all part of God's grand plan to consummate all things in Christ. He not only co-opted us to be part of this glorious purpose, but he also gave us special gifts, spiritual gifts, so that we as the body of Christ would function optimally. So what are those gifts? First, Paul lists here the leadership gifts, Ephesians 4:11. And it was he, Christ, who gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. That not every believer exercises ministry in these particular offices is evident from the shift from each one in 4:7 to a few, some in 4:11, i.e. not all have the leadership gifts. All chiefs, no Indians is not a good thing, even in church. Why did God give this? Gifting some people with these leadership gifts. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. I want us to notice the progression here. God gave gifts to the leaders for the equipping of the saints. Leadership gifts are to equip the saints, the people of God. Equipped for what? Verse 12, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. In other words, leaders equip us. And the saints, you and I, we do the work of ministering to one another. And what happens as a result? For the building up of the body of Christ. Leaders equip, saints minister, body is built. There's a common misconception in many churches that leaders are the ministers. In fact, we sometimes call them that, minister of this, minister of that. That's really not very biblically precise. It is the saints, you and I, who do the work of ministry. We are the ministers. Leaders only help us minister, equipping us to do the work of ministry. And this notion is repeated in the last part of 4:16 using several of the same words that are highlighted in your text. 4:16, according to the working in measure of each individual part, what you and I, the saints, do, each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. So once again, leaders equip, saints minister, body is built. So 4:7 through 16, even though it mentions the role of leaders and their equipping capacities, is really primarily concerned with the role of all believers in the growth and unity of the church, not just that of leaders. Yes, there are a few individuals, leaders, who have particular gifts that enable everyone else, each believer, you and I, to employ his or her own gifts for this building program. But the actual work of bodybuilding is done by the rest of us saints. Leaders only equip the saints to undertake bodybuilding. Leaders equip, saints minister, body is built. Everyone is needed. Everyone is necessary. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. There is no such thing as a disjointed body of Christ. Instead, we are to be united as one body. We are to be functioning as one body, and we are to be helping one another with our spiritual gifts. A few years ago, beachgoers along the shores of Panama City Beach in Florida found themselves witnessing a dangerous event. While playing in the water, two small boys got caught up in the rip current and started screaming for help. Understandably, the boys' mother jumped into the water to save them, only to get caught herself. One by one, more and more family members came in after the group, only to face the same predicament. And after a short time, the spectacle and the shouts started attracting a large number of onlookers. Derek Simmons, who witnessed the whole thing, said, "Man, they're all stuck out there. The riptides pull them out. I tried to go in myself, but I'd get stuck too." But luckily, Simmons' wife, Jessica, did some quick thinking and hollered at folks standing around the beach and began instructing people to grasp arms and wade into the sea as a human chain anchored to the safety of the shore. As many as 80 people hooked arms together and functioned to save every person, every struggling, desperate swimmer after a few stressful minutes. Joining hands, bodybuilding. That's what the church needs. And we've already been gifted with the building materials, the essentials, the spiritual gifts. And how will this bodybuilding look, or what will be its end point, its goal? Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In other words, as we grow, as the body is built, we are looking more and more like Christ, a motif we have already seen last week. As we grow in Him, with the help of these spiritual gifts, exercised by each one of us to help one another, we are building the body to correspond, to reflect, to look like our head, Christ. Bodybuilding into Christ-likeness. And a properly built body looks like what's told us in Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. There's a negative statement in 14 and a positive statement in 15 that describes this. So that we may no longer be children being tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by the craftiness of the deceptive scheme that's negative, and that's talking about Satan's wiles. But being truthful in love, we are to grow up in all things into the head, Christ. That's the positive. Looking like Christ is the goal. Being like Christ is the end point. But I want you to catch this, so that we may no longer be children, in verse 14. And the last part of 15, we are to grow up in all things into Him who is the head, who is Christ. There are lots of new babies here in fellowship. Have you noticed one thing about babies? Their heads are disproportionately large. They're born with full-grown heads, one would think, with tiny little bodies. And the rest of their lives is taken up by growing those bodies to match the size of those huge heads. If you have any doubts about that, just ask Pastor Justin. He'll explain it all to you. And that's exactly what's being talked about here. We babies have a huge head, a perfect head, the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of our Christian lives is spent in growing our bodies, the body of Christ, the church, to match that huge and perfect head, Jesus Christ. And how does this happen? Leaders equip, saints minister, the body is built. And we become Christ-like. We become mature. So number three is maturity. Maturity. Unity, diversity, maturity. And Paul does not let go of love operating in all of this, which he had talked about earlier in the last part of chapter 3 as well. He started off with love, verse 2 of our text, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing the other in love. And he ends with it in 4:16, the growth of the body for building itself in love. So leaders lovingly equip, saints lovingly minister, the body is lovingly built into Christ-likeness. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person. I want you to catch that, a mature person. It's in the singular. There's a oneness there. All of us together, diverse peoples, are becoming one person, unity at last. And paradoxically, this unity is created by diversity, by the exercise of the different grace gifts given to us by Christ. Some in this way, some in that. But we have to exercise those gifts. Just before World War II, in the town of Itasca, Texas, a school fire took the lives of 263 children. There was scarcely a town, family in town, which was not touched by this horrific tragedy. And then during the Second World War, Itasca remained without school facilities. But when the war ended, this town, like many others, began to expand. In fact, they built a new school, which featured what was called, quote, the finest sprinkler system in the world. Civic pride ran high. Honor students were selected to guide citizens and visitors on the tour of this new facility to show them the finest, most advanced sprinkler system that technology could design and money could buy. Never again would Itasca be visited by such a catastrophe as had happened in the past. With the post-war boom, Itasca continued to grow. And 7 years later, it was necessary to enlarge the school building. In adding the new wing, it was discovered that the sprinkler system had never been connected to the water supply. What an incredible story. It folly strains our belief. Yet it is a parable of what has happened to many Christians and in many churches. Untold power available for every believer in Christ as spiritual gifts. But are we using them? Each of us is unique, and our gifting is also unique. Unity is not uniformity. It's not that we're clones of one another. Instead, the uniqueness of Christ's gifting helps promote unity, for the various gifts act in concert to build the body into what God intends it to be, mature and Christ-like. Unity in diversity leading to maturity, becoming Christ-like, body growing to fit the head. So bodybuilding is primarily the responsibility of the saints like you and me, not of the pastors or the leaders. They equip, we minister, and thus the body is built to look like Christ, to attain to Christ-likeness. Unity in diversity produces maturity. Christian growth occurs not in isolation, but in the community of fellow believers, each one of us exercising his or her spiritual gifts for the benefit of the corporate body. Each one of us is a hand, is a foot, is a pancreas, is a liver, is a bone, is a bit of skin, and so on. And none of these individual parts can survive in isolation. The body becomes one only when every part is doing its bits. So also in the body of Christ. It is our responsibility to work together to grow and build the body. Leaders equip, saints minister, the body is built. So sometime late today or later this week, take a look at the four biblical lists of spiritual gifts. They are found in four passages. They are easy to remember. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, our text Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. Easy to remember. Two chapter 12s, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, two chapter 4s, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. And then later this week in your GCGs or in other gatherings, as you sit around, set aside some time to go around affirming what you think is the gift or gifts of the person sitting on your right. Tell them what you think their gift might be. And let the one on your left tell you what they think your gift might be. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. And then all together, let's thank God for the diversity of giftings so that we would move towards greater unity, so that we would enjoy maturity in Christ. Be a bodybuilder. And of course, when someone suggests that your gift may be one of these, please do jump in and minister your gift in fellowship, in the GCGs, in other places, as a bodybuilder. Because if you don't exercise your gift, the body is going to be stunted. Everybody is necessary. The body of Christ unified, ministering to one another with gifts, building up the body, proves to the entire universe that God's grand plan to finally unify and consummate all things in Christ has commenced, and it's already visible here in Fellowship Church. The consummation of God's grand plan has begun with us, God's people. Unity, diversity, maturity. Leaders equip, saints minister, the body is built. Let's go and be bodybuilders. Let's pray. Father, for this great text, we give thanks for the heart of Paul, but above all, for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful. We're filled with gratitude for the package, the gift that we have received, each one of us. For the infinite wisdom you have exercised in tailoring these gifts one for another, so that we would fit perfectly into our ordained spaces within the church. Give us wisdom to help us realize what our gifts might be and the gifts of our fellow believers in Christ. Help us to encourage and affirm to one another what these gifts are. And give us strength and knowledge and open doors and areas in which we might employ these gifts for the benefit of Fellowship Church, so that we might become a body unified in diversity, growing into maturity, for the glory of God and the demonstration of your grand plan. We ask these things in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Alex. I'm going to be reading the scripture this morning. I would like to invite you to stand for this morning's scripture reading. This morning's scripture reading comes from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. It says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing the other in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measuring out of the gift of Christ. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he took captivity captive. He gave gifts to men. Now what is he ascended, but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is himself also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, in order that he might fill all things. And it was he who gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, being tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by the craftiness of the deceptive scheme, but being truthful in love, we are to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, co-fitted and conjoined through every supporting connection, according to the working and measure of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for building itself in love. This is the word of the Lord." You may be seated.